Hello, I'm Meg Sullivan, and I want to welcome you to the Slim and Chic Corporate Queen Summit, where we get to speak with leading women's health and lifestyle experts about dropping the weight, gaining more time in our days, and banishing the feeling of burnout, all while fitting it into the life of the successful corporate woman. So I know that in the day and life of a corporate woman, we often have to turn to energy sources, good and bad, to get us through the day. And for some of us, it's caffeine. For others, it's sugar. And if you are a sugar addict and you find that you have those cravings midday, then you are going to love our guest today, Jen Edden of Jen Edden Coaching. So Jen, thank you so much for being here.
Meg, thank you for having me. It was so hard to keep quiet while you were introducing me because, you know, prior to running my own business, I used to work for a nonprofit for about 7 years, and I lived through those ups and downs that you talk about, and it's really nice now to be on the other side, able to teach and coach from a place of having lived it. So, yeah, I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And you can tell that Jen's voice has this awesome, attractive energy. So a little bit more about Jen. She is a sugar cravings expert, author, and empowerment coach, specializing in helping busy women kick sugar addiction and feel their most energized self. And as a recovering sugaraholic for over a decade, Jen supports women find more humor in their day while making healthier food and lifestyle choices and addressing how much mindset plays into making permanent and sustainable changes. Now, Jen knows all about having to find energy between working with her clients, writing her book, and most importantly, being a mom of three beautiful children under 8 years old. Consistent, steady, and healthy energy is an absolute must. Now, the other fantastic thing about Jen is that her first book is due to hit the shelves in May, and it's called Woman Unleashed, The Highly Sensitive Woman's Guide to Radiant Energy, Unstoppable Confidence, and My 21-Day Plan to Kick Sugar Cravings. So, Jen, I have to say again, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to jump right into this.
Okay, cool. I love it. And I love what you said about me because it really captures all the stuff that we as women who are extremely busy, like what we really struggle with. Mm-hmm. And when people ask about, you know, where did this book come from, I always say, you know, it's come from all the work I've done with women over the last 10 to 14 years. And it was time to just get it in a book where people could then take action, but take action, as you know, like in your own time, because right, we're busy. So we have our own sets of priorities. So that's my job, to really help women find the time in their day. And for sure, I can't wait to get into it. Not only find time in your day for yourself, but really learn the tricks of the trade so you can be busy, but you also don't need to be crashing at 3 p.m.
Right.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point right there, because I think it's a really familiar story for so many of us, especially in the corporate arena. That 3 p.m. time, it's the time after lunch, but it's not too close to when you're about to start wrapping things up to head home. It really is that dreaded 3 p.m. lull. And what happens so often is that we're reaching for sugar, and it gives us that little burst of energy. And let's be honest, at the moment, it feels really good. But I want to ask you, how can we avoid that 3 p.m. energy crash, which is then often followed by those nighttime sugar binges?
Yes, always, always. Okay, so one of the things that always screams out at me when, even when I'm talking with my clients, so I don't actually want us to avoid anything, because you know how your mom says growing up, like, don't touch the stove, it's hot? And then, like, what do you want to do? You
right,
want to touch the stove. So I would say what I first would do is let's make it so that we're not avoiding 3 p.m., but what we're doing, you ready for this? We're talking about breakfast. Because the 3 p.m. crash comes not because literally the clock says tick, tick. You know, you're at your desk, you're on a conference call for Lord knows probably an hour too long. So it's really not about the 3. It's about the morning routine that nobody ever talks about. And that is where I always start with my clients. What is your morning routine? What are you eating for breakfast? How much time are you giving yourself to prepare to get out of the house? What are you first putting in your mouth when you wake up? And it is amazing to see that depending on that answer, I'll actually know if they're crashing at 3 p.m. or not. Isn't that wild?
Wow. Yes.
So here's what I think would be helpful, because this is what I really like to know, like the nuts and bolts. So I'm just going to come right out and share that in the morning, it's really important to eat breakfast. And I know if you're hearing this and you're in the U.S., you know, it's almost a joke. I know what it's like in my house with three kids under eight. I know. My husband's running out. I've got an appointment. And before you know it, breakfast for a lot of people is like a breakfast bar, if anything at all, or it's a bowl of cereal. It's usually something really quick that doesn't involve a stove. And people call it food, and then they go to work. And I will tell you right now, for those listening, please take this to heart. Stuff that's in those boxes that you got to open, that's a wrapper, that stuff isn't actually food. It's really marketed that way, but it's just high sugary stuff, if you read what's on the label, that is causing your blood sugar to spike right away. So breakfast, breaking the fast, right, if you break that word down, I need people to really respect, if no other time during the day, to respect their bodies when they wake up and to break the fast in the most high-protein, lots-of-water kind of way. And when you start doing that, even if you're in a rush, I have clients that say, yeah, I can't cook. I say, well, what about the night before? Boiling some hard-boiled eggs, cage-free organic. I'll just throw that in there real quick, okay, because energetics of food matters. But something that's food, a one-ingredient food. So I mentioned that as a quick example because a lot of people can go for that. You know, they're in a rush and they'll grab some hard-boiled eggs. But if you're not and you go, I can give myself about 20 minutes in the morning. Everyone can find that, please. 25. I do some really clean, you know, breakfast sausage. Their Apple Gates is a brand I happen to like because they're nitrate-free. And I'll do that with an egg. If you like avocado, some people say, oh, the oatmeal thing, that's for like another day. That still also does raise your blood sugar. People say yogurt. I'm just thinking of who would be on here like thinking yogurt. Yogurt has a lot of sugar. So you want it to be more of like a one-ingredient food, high in protein, and you're hydrating in the morning. And isn't that like, you wouldn't expect that, right, as an answer of how to handle 3 p.m., Meg, what do you think? Would you?
Right. Well, no, I wouldn't initially expect that. And why I'm kind of laughing is because a lot of times people want a more complicated answer. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear that it's so simple, right?
It's so simple. Yes.
That you broke it down. I really like what you're saying about it. You want it to be a real food. You know, I'm somebody who I like Paul Check, and he calls these other things non-foods. He calls them non-foods because that's what they are.
Yes, but if you grow up, if you're alive and living and your parents allow you to have a television, and even if you don't have a television, you go to school with kids who have a television, your peers and people around you, you know, my kids are going to school with this stuff. Even though they go to a local Montessori, you know, where it's the mindset's a little bit different, it doesn't matter. The kids still come in with these roll-up fruit things, and my kids now know, well, how far off the vine did that thing go? My God, Mom, how did they make it a fruit roll-up? Because it's not really food. It's not really fruit. Yes, and I just want to throw in there 30 seconds, if not 10 seconds. My book, Chapter 2, is about keep it simple. So I love that you mentioned that this recommendation was simple, because for those who are listening, I'm so grateful that you're taking the time for yourself today. I know how busy your day is. I know how valuable your time is. And you don't need complicated. And simple is how I do it. And that's the only way I coach. It's the only way I live my life. And it really does get you, which I know if you're listening, you want results. I mean, I can give you something complex, but I just, you know, point A to point B. How do you not crash at 3? You take the time in the morning and you eat something real, preferably, I'll say it again, organic, cage-free, something without chemicals. That's maybe for later we'll get into. But, yeah, these one-ingredient foods. When in doubt, do that. I'll even do a protein shake. So let me add that because a lot of my clients who are busy corporate women love that. It's a protein shake, but it's a clean one. It's clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can also then think, oh, I'm doing a good thing. And, you know, it's full of chemicals and raising blood sugar. Or better yet, you think it's not because it has these artificial, you know, sucralose and aspartame and all these other things. And then that's just messing with your inability to lose weight, which I think we'll get to in a little bit. So a clean protein shake.
Did you have specific protein shakes that you're going to mention?
Yeah. So there's one I love called Super Factor, P-H-A-C-T-O-R, Super Factor. You can only get that online. My local detox store has it. So Super Factor is one I use every day. And then I'll mix that with Epic because these are grain-free, vegan, raw, non-GMO. I mean, it has all the buzzwords that are real. And sometimes I'll use Vega for the kids, Vega protein. It's I just mix it up. I think it's good to mix it. But, again, it's dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, grain-free, no hidden junky sweeteners, just stevia, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
does not add to sugar cravings. And is a natural sweetener found in a stevia plant. So, yeah.
Well, and so my question is for somebody who maybe has a sensitivity to eggs or an intolerance for eggs, is mm-hmm. the protein shake kind of the go-to thing for them, or is there something else that you'd recommend to really get the protein in but still have it be that simple whole food-based breakfast?
Yeah, so especially if you're a vegan, I respect that, right? Or vegetarian and you don't do eggs and all that, absolutely. So the protein shake is good, but I will say, and my kids, you know, I teach them this, it does have like, you know, 15 ingredients, even though maca root and all this stuff is good. So I don't recommend that every day. Trying to think of what else. Yeah, so a protein shake would be good, but I will tell you, I know people who can do chia. I'm sure you've heard of chia seeds.
Okay.
They will make a chia pudding that is high in protein, and they'll make it with, you know, full-fat coconut milk. You can Google it. I've made that before, and that's something. But I hesitate because unless someone's working with me, you know, this is one of those,
right.
Just because I'm the quote-unquote expert doesn't mean I know the right answer. Your body will know the right answer. So if you want to try chia pudding in the morning with even some organic berries, because berries are low in sugar, so that's acceptable for my clients and me, you have to see how you feel later
right.
in the day. So I always say, take what me or another quote-unquote expert says, and then try it on. Take it for a test drive. And then you tell yourself or tell me, right, at 3 p.m., how are you feeling?
Right.
How's that for an answer?
I love that. Now,
yeah, you take it for a test drive.
Now, there's, you know, all the women on this event are busy. And for women that lead these really, really busy lives,
yeah.
the only constant is the busyness. So when it's hard to stay consistent with a workout or consistent with a healthy eating plan, what is the secret to really living that busy life without having to own, and we've talked about this, I love this phrase, without having to own several different dress sizes?
Everyone take a deep breath. If I had the magic pill, I'd be a millionaire.
Right.
Yeah. So there's many like phases to that question. So the first thing that came to mind, and this is the lifestyle piece of what I do, right? So I do the actual, we'll switch the diet up, we'll make it work for you, you know, on the go. But then there's this other piece, this lifestyle piece. And I find that a lot of us who struggle with the weight and want to get it off, that before we can even, right, go in that direction, we have to take a look at how much we give to others, and that, you know, that word that has two letters, N-O, is really hard for a lot of women. I know I struggle with it too. You know, saying no to the after-work commitment, saying no to that extra call that you don't need to be on, or to the mother-in-law, or to the husband, or to the boyfriend. It's having some boundaries. And while that doesn't exactly connect with, oh, good, now I can, you know, get rid of that size, let's say, you know, 10 or 8 or 12 in the closet, it actually does connect. Because when cortisol levels, if we know how hormones work, I'll just 30-second you on that. When cortisol is high in the body, which is the fight-or-flight hormone, you can't lose weight. So while I'm all about, you know, diet and exercise, if we don't actually address how much we're running around, why we're running around that much, what are our priorities, it's really hard to pull a dress, you know, one of those larger dresses that you keep just in case you're having that month. I know all about that one, out of the closet. So I first want to say that you need to address that piece. Okay, and really take a look at your priorities. The other thing is, like, how to be really busy and not have all those. I laugh because it used to be me. I mean, it's just a really real question. I find you need to start saying yes to you more and, yeah, making some difficult choices. So I don't know if that's the answer you wanted, and we can go into it more, but it's usually a boundary thing and saying no, because like everything else, I tell people, so you mentioned that I have a lot of energy, and everything in life is energy. So when clients come to me and say, I want to make more money, let's say they run their own business, even if they're working for someone and they want a raise, well, you have to put your energy in that direction, right? Because wherever you put your energy, things grow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to lose weight, I tell women, it actually requires energy. So we have to pull your energy from somewhere else to put it back into you, to lose the weight and keep it off. And most people don't look at it that way, which is why I started with saying no means more energy for you, which is a definite shift in perspective for a lot of women when I bring that up.
Yeah, I love that you said that. And I love that you brought up that it's not just the, you know, the diet and exercise. And those women that are familiar with me and have heard me before have probably heard me bring up the fact that the Greek origin of the word diet actually means way of life. It's gotten very convoluted in you know, what it means currently. But really, when you think of way of life, it's not even just what you're putting into your body. It's really the way that you choose to spend your time, the way that you choose to live your life, which goes back to exactly what you were saying, Jen, making some of those hard decisions and saying no to others and saying yes to yourself. And I found that with the women that we work with, that's very much a muscle that has to be built up. It's not something that is necessarily very easy to do, but once you start saying yes to yourself more, yeah, you become better and better and better at it. Just conversely, like once you start saying no to others more, you become better and better and better at that. And I think we've gotten this really bad connotation for selfishness. And sometimes we think that, oh, you know, so-and-so thinks that I'm selfish, or if I do that, it's selfish. But it really is about taking care of yourself first. And Jen, I'm sure you know that, especially as a mother, right?
Oh my gosh, I'm hearing you like biting my hand not to interrupt.
jump in. I want to hear from
the
you.
The things that I have to just say no to. I mean, I have 3 kids under 8, boy, girl, girl. And yeah, people come to me and say, like, how do you do it? Because I'm pinching you. You're in the flesh. You're not just some, you know, happy Facebook post where your life is falling apart. Like, my life really is as good as, I always laugh, my life actually is as really good as Facebook shows. I genuinely love my life, and it's because I make a lot of these difficult decisions. And something I love that you said, it is an absolute muscle, and I talk to my clients about this all the time because they're usually extremely successful at work, mm-hmm, and what they do, quote-unquote, for a living, extremely successful. Those women seem to flock to me because I get it. But for some reason, that success is not translating in their personal life, and it's driving them batty. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about that's because you have certain habits and things you do at work. That muscle is toned and gorgeous. It is slim and chic, right? Yeah. But this, I know you love that.
I love that.
This other stuff with home, it's kind of like flabby. And if you look at every time you say no to something as building your muscle, then at least you have a path. It's not just a random no here and there. Right? But there's a visual of a muscle building. And I find that, you know, my clients and even women I just talked to in passing about this, they love that they can visualize it's a muscle and every day it's getting stronger and toner. And that's exactly it. And I don't want to get into all the psychology of why we say yes to so many things and then feel guilty when we don't, because that's literally for probably the next telesummit. But I would like to say that for those who are listening who are moms and have daughters, you know, they're always watching. And my mom, I watched my mom growing up, and my mom watched her mom. And I can tell you that the stuff that I had to work through and have a breakthrough around is not stuff that was actually mine. It was just what I watched growing up and I thought was normal. So, you know, a lot of times, all the time, I hear, you know, moms will do anything for their children. So for those who are, like, on the edge of teetering of, like, yeah, I could kind of see what she's saying, but the guilt sets in. Well, you can make it about your girls when you say no to something and decide to sit on the couch and have a cup of tea with them, or make it to their soccer practice instead of, you know, an extra meeting or, you know, something that wasn't quite as important. You know, they're watching. So you get to teach them by example, and that makes our work a hell of a lot easier when they're older, you know. So that's another little plug for those mom corporate women listening.
And you know, I love that you put it that way, that if you can't do it for yourself, which is not exactly the way I want to phrase it, but say no to that energy draining thing for your kids. Put it on your daughter. And maybe that'll make it a little bit easier.
No, truth. I mean, yeah, and I'll just, you know, add real quick a personal life story, because I think it's important for people to know. You know, I grew up, depression runs in the family, anxiety for sure. I was one of those sweating kids, TMJ, jaw locked up. Everything stressed me out. I used to eat a half a gallon, I'll never forget, Turkey Hill ice cream. Mint chocolate chip was my favorite. Asked my mom, come home from school, it'd be gone. And periods were the worst, off the charts. And so I've healed that now, but I bring it up because that stuff was all related to my mom sharing with me stuff she struggled with as a kid. And this mental piece was a really big deal, because she had shared that her grandmother had had a breakdown, mental breakdown. Her mother had had a breakdown. And in my lifetime, I watched my mom have a mental breakdown when I was, like, I think 10 or 11. And in that moment, this happened about 10 years ago, she shared that. I had a shift. Like, that is a learned behavior. Yes, I believe in mental, you know, disorders. We don't have to get into that. But, you know, there being some cellular passing down. I absolutely believe that. But seriously, heart attacks and this mental stuff, having breakdowns, is absolutely lifestyle choices, a lot of it. And I thought, well, that's not going to happen in my family. And that was just another reason, you know. Take a look at, you know, what happened in your family that you want to not repeat. And sometimes that helps build the muscle and get past that guilt, you know, get past that guilt.
Absolutely.
So I like to just keep stacking up the odds for us as many ways as possible. Make it about them. Make it about you don't want to repeat stuff. You know, make it about whatever you need to build your muscle.
Right.
It's personal to you listening. So, yeah, love it.
So I want to change gears just a little bit here. And first of all, actually, thank you for sharing that story, because I think it gives me a much better visual and a much better – it gives me a path to say no. So I really appreciate that. But now, changing gears, you are the sugar craving expert. And there's just always going to be times when we have cravings. There's things we can do to minimize cravings, but realistically, they're still going to pop up. So we have to have that internal tug of war of, do I give into it? Do I not give into it? When is it appropriate to give into a craving or not give into a craving when they come up?
Yes. Okay, good, good, good. I'll get to this one quick. I love this one. Like, love it. Because people go, oh, you're a sugar cravings expert. I'm not ready to give up sugar. I'm like, duh. I didn't say you had to give it up. Should I still eat it too? We all, I mean, just because I'm an expert doesn't mean I don't eat it. I mean, the thing is, you ready? Mm-hmm. I know how to kick it because it's extremely addictive and lights up similar parts of the brain that cocaine do. So it really is addictive. So I say I'm an expert because I can be on it and then, right, birthday parties, things come up. You have life situations. But you want to have, let's say, that glass of wine. It's, you know, and I'll get into that right now. But it's a matter of knowing how to get off.
Right.
So with that said, to give in or not to give in, that's that's the question. And if you haven't been sick of me putting a plug in, I cannot help it because it's in my book. A whole chapter is devoted to this, to give in or not to give in. Because, right, this is a really important thing. It's not black or white ever. So how it works is, or how my view on it that works for me in my life and with, you know, women who have tried this fresh perspective, if you're having a craving and you know after you have it that you are just going to feel so bad, so lousy, you know you're stressed out, you know, the boss pissed you off or you are the boss and, you know, the employees are getting to you, that's when I say, you know, you don't give in and you go give yourself some non-food way to relieve the cravings because you will not feel good about yourself after you've given in. It's those disempowering times that we say yes, where then we feel, I'll use the word the big L because a lot of people feel that way, like a loser, like you have no motivation, like you can't stick to anything, like you have no willpower. Those are the days I do not give in. Now, on the flip side, I'm having a day where I want it, I know I really want it, and I know it's probably an imbalance from something going on in my life, or I'm dehydrated, or breakfast wasn't the best because I didn't follow my directions that day. But I know I'll feel good after, and I'm feeling, you know, positive in the moment. I'll have it. I'll give in. I'll enjoy it, especially if it's around a special occasion, okay? Because I can't tell you enough where I'm at a party, and people go, oh, no, 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 I'm on a diet today, this week. And I look at them like, are you, and I respectfully look at them like, are you kidding? It's like 90-10, buddy. 10 is the, you know, this is the 10% where you want to enjoy yourself. You know, you're with family and friends or you're at a party celebrating. Right. Like, that's when you give in. It's the other 90% or 80% where, you know, you don't. That office party, Lord knows we all know those, right? Or it's the holidays and you know you really want to feel good for the holidays. And having those muffins or those donuts or those, you know, David and whoever, you know, stack of Tower of Chocolates, you know giving in every day makes you feel bad. Then don't do it.
Right.
Is that, how's that?
No, I like that. I like that. Yeah, and it's something we'll tell our clients if it's, a lot of times we'll say, with love. So if it's a special occasion and you're celebrating something, then exactly what you're saying, have a piece of cake. Enjoy it. It's a social function. You're surrounded by people that you love, that you want to be around. Have it. That's a different situation than I'm depressed, I'm bored, I just stepped out of a meeting and got really angry, and there's a bowl of chocolates on the secretary's desk. That's a different situation. So I love
it.
That
I'm
you
just going to eat it.
Yeah. I love it. So now, Jen, you know that I love your work, and it's incredibly relevant to the corporate woman. I am so excited for your book to come out in May. Now, you also have a free gift for our audience. So could you tell us about your gift and then also tell us where we can find more information about you and your work?
Yeah, sure. So in simple, like, Jen fashion, you can find me at my website, which is jenedencoaching.com, and it's J-E-N-N-E-D-D-E-N, coaching.com. And on that website, I have a six-step plan, which I love because, I wrote it, and it's simple, it's complete, and when I say complete, it really will help you. It's my six-step plan, let me just say, to kick cravings and feel empowered. And it's literally six steps. Each comes with a fun little, you know, action step along the way, so you don't just read something and then, okay, that was great, but no action takes place. And, yeah, you can find me there, and I would be delighted to hear from each and every one of you who my work resonates with. And thank you for having me today.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to say, once again, thank you so much for being here. I'm really honored and thrilled that we were able to connect and you share your expertise with the women of this audience. I know it's incredibly relevant and it's going to help a lot of women. So thank you. Thank you, Jen. And with that, I want to remind you about our next Slim and Chic Corporate Queen interview coming at you tomorrow. So keep your eye on your inbox. And if you have a friend, sister, mother, daughter, coworker, boss, anyone that could benefit from Jen's message and work, please encourage them to sign up at thecorporatequeensummit.com so that they can gain access to this awesome and very high energy interview. And let's continue to support each other. And I will see you tomorrow.